As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is The Athletic Football Show's Prospects to Pros.
Hello and welcome to Prospects to Pros. I am your host, Nate Tice. We're reviewing the NFL Combine today. 40 times, broad jumps. Not so much three cones and short shuttle because apparently no one does those anymore. But also the did you meet with questions. We won't really be going over too many of those, but who knows? Seems like everybody else wants to talk about that. But that's what we're doing today. Combine, it wrapped up. We survived. I survived. Hopefully the person that's joining me survived. I think he did. He's across from me right now on screen, but to join me covering the combine from Indianapolis. Well, now he's home from Indianapolis is the Athletic's draft expert himself, Mr. Dane Brugler. How you doing today, Dane?
I'm good. It was a long week, but a productive week, right? I mean, this combine is always, it's always something that we look forward to, and then we get there and you're in the middle of it and it's just nonstop and you're like, can I just get time out? Let me get a break. You just keep powering through late nights, early mornings. And then like when you're all done, you just have such a wealth of information that it's like, okay, now we have all this information. Now let's apply it. Let's figure out, okay, what does this mean? What does that mean? How should we take this? You know, I think that's the main key now is, all right, yeah, we had these 40s. We had all these testing times. The positional stuff, I don't think that I don't – because obviously, I'm in the stadium. We're in the stadium for when this happens. Yeah. So, I don't know necessarily, on TV what they're showing for the positional drills. But that's such a big part of this, just to see these – compare these guys one after the other to see how – offensive linemen going pass pro mirror drills and the W drill and defensive backs, their pedal and turn and all that. So now that we have all this, let's figure out how to apply it. What does it mean? And so, yeah, that I think that's kind of the focus for this show. We'll try to do that.
Yeah, even outside the main tests, the headlines, the 40-yard drill and everything, especially those lineman drills today, and we'll talk about the receiver drills, it's so nice they got the tracking data. Some of those, and they flash it on screen. And so you've seen the linemen doing the wave drills, and I'm actually seeing who actually is moving literally the fastest. And it actually maybe confirmed an eye test there, which so we'll talk about once we go over the linemen. But same with the receiver stuff. So it's kind of cool seeing some maybe that older way of thinking or just maybe the traditional way of thinking with the new age versions of that too with the combine. Right. I think that's what a lot of that combine is. Oh, my God, the fact that it's open to the public more or less, that blows my mind, or to media, I should say. Public media that still blows my mind considering when I first went to the combine, it was just a lockdown. Yeah. What's in your bag? Yeah, no, you can't bring that in here. I don't care if you're with the team. Yeah, totally different how it is now, but it's a lot of fun. Well, I'm glad we did it.
I was gonna say before, I mean, I won't give away all my secrets how I snuck in, but it's, you're borrowing credentials, you're doing different things. And yeah, it was nice not to have to do that this time around.
I'm sure. Just wave. You just give the wave. That's the best advice my dad ever gave me. He's like, if you want to, you're getting somewhere that you're not supposed to be, just give the wave and act like you know what you're doing. And then
confidence is key. That's it.
It's huge.
You know, whether you're sitting in a formal interview with a team or you're trying to sneak into the Lucas Oil Stadium, confidence matters.
Absolutely. All right. Speaking of that, confident. Well, really, it wasn't so much with this position. I was going to say some confident running of the 40s, but not really with this. I was going to just start with the quarterbacks because the quarterback position is kind of how we always lead things off. But the combine's interesting for quarterbacks. Some right. guys don't throw. Some guys don't run. Some guys don't weigh in, which is a an interesting one. But also interviews, medicals, Whisper Club starts with a lot of these guys. We get a lot of minds in the same building, how Radio Row goes, how teams talk, how many meals are happening. Shoot, me and you walk two blocks and we had like five separate side conversations with people that walk by as well.
Yeah. If you have some place to go, just put your eyes down and just power walk. Because, yeah, when we were walking, how many people we bump into? And it's just like, oh, well, we got, you know, and it's not just being polite. It's like, oh, I'd like to talk to this person. You know,
it was great.
Right. It's not like we're complaining. It's just how it is this week in Indianapolis. You cannot walk down the street without bumping into somebody that you know or would love to talk to. And, you know, it really is something that's fascinating.
It is. It really is. It's just the types of conversations because of different type of people. It's the convention for football. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is. I mean, you get, the dadables there at the same time that testing's going on. At the same time, everyone's going to a restaurant and drinking and right. meeting up there or anything like that. It's just so funny, all these things going on, different type of personalities. But the quarterbacks, though, it's full steam ahead. I know that the Justin Fields trade too, rumors. I know we've covered it on the show with Diana and Robert have talked about it a little bit as well. But the positions, we have Caleb Williams, who didn't throw, but did measure in, almost literally the exact same as Drew Brees, by the way. But also we have Drake May measured in. Mm-hmm. And then Jaden Daniels from LSU did not measure in officially. I think he's going to do it at his pro day. But then all the others. But Dane, to you. Those who did throw, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, Michael Pratt, there's a good assortment of guys that did throw, or just really what you heard or what you saw this week. Who stood out to you at the quarterback position, the signal caller spot?
So I think and this is a boring answer. This is not good content, but I don't think any of the quarterbacks really blew me away or really disappointed. I mean, I thought it was kind of par for the course.
Yep.
Not everything was perfect, but not everything should be expected to be. These are especially the timing drills where dealing with receivers that you're not comfortable with, you don't know. I thought J.J. McCarthy, that was probably the most anticipated workout, and I thought he did fine. I think he did.
Yeah.
It's not like he belongs in the top five now. If whatever you thought about J.J. McCarthy coming into the week, that's how you probably feel about him leaving the week. Do you have a different opinion on that?
Nope. That's okay. Exactly what I expected. I mean, the weight stuff is hilarious, but that's combined weight. Right. It's
water weight.
I don't know what to make it. Water weight. I mean, he looked a little bloated too. I know that face too. I think for me, the only thing really confirmed for me, and I thought he did, and you've talked about him having a live arm, was he legit had the second fastest, I think, miles per hour when they did the arm test, the speed test, behind Joe Milton, which is saying something. So that was just more of a confirmation. It was like, I think I see this. You throw a tight spiral on film, but you just never know until you got to just maybe get that number and get to see it a little bit.
And the other thing, too, is he had the best three-cone time at 6.82. You have to go back 5 years to find a quarterback under that time. So
that's really low.
It's an awesome time. He did not do the 40, but I think he would have been comfortably if 4.65 over under. I'm taking the under.
I'll take the under there.
Yeah, with J.J. McCarthy. So I don't need to see him run a 40. I've seen him run, and I know what kind of speed he has. But the 6.82 in the three cone was an awesome time, and that's something that really shows the athlete that he is. But yeah, then throwing the ball looked good. I thought Michael Penix, he did a nice job. Bo Nix did a nice job. Nothing necessarily about those two workouts that has me, I need to go back and watch more. It's kind of what we expected. So I thought the quarterbacks, they did a nice job.
I did too. Yeah, it was fine. I know. I wish I had some this guy really, impressed me. The only thing that impressed me the most was Sam Hartman run the back-to-back 40s. I thought that was just hilarious. Just lining up, running the 40, lining up again, running the 40 again. I thought that was just amazing. And then Joe Milton throwing the ball 70-something yards. That's always going to be hilarious.
Right.
The classic, didn't even hitch up, just finished his drop, pause, and then just launched it. It's like,
special,
smoke him if you got him.
Special arm. I mean, truly
if you could do
special.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, the only guy I've seen in person that throw it like that is another Tennessee quarterback, Eric Ainge. Oh, wow. I watched him at the Manny Camp launch once, 70-something yards. I saw Jamarcus Russell as well.
Yeah.
Those guys. Yeah, those two. Those guys at the Manny Camp when I was in high school. And I remember, I'm like, you know, I think I was a sophomore or junior. I'm like, are you kidding? He's like, this is what you have to do? Like, throw this 80-something yards on one knee. But Joe Milton throwing the ball 70-something yards was a lot of fun. So I'm right there with you, the quarterbacks. It kind of was just a fine week. Most of the stuff for them is so important what happens off the field, you know, of course, with the interviews and everything like that.
Yeah.
Going to the guys that they threw to, the wide receivers, because we had a record breaker at the receiver position, or just overall for the combine. Xavier Worthy setting the 40-yard dash record at a 4.21, I believe, officially.
That's it. And it's pretty cool that they, with all the fans that were there, that really made it feel electric. And so, they put up the times in the stadium when they happened. But after he ran that second 40, texted my buddy who was on the field. He's a scout on the field. And he texted back that because it was originally 4.22. He texted back, I had 4.21. And so, I mean, I was like, okay, that would be the record if it happened. And then they announced the official 4.21 and they went nuts. I mean, that was so cool to see. A lot of guys, after they run the fast 40 initially, they're like, all right, I'm done. That's good enough for me. No, he competed. He went out there at 4.25 maybe his first try. Second try, got the record. I mean, that's so cool for him. And honestly, so how much are we bumping him up now? You know?
That's it.
I mean, I know he didn't do the positional stuff. It was just kind of the 40 and like, all right, you know, let's mic drop. I'll do the rest of the pro day. But I think it'll be interesting. Here's the question to ask. Who will be the first Texas receiver drafted?
Oh, I have A.D. Mitchell above, but
I can't teach speed, man. I mean,
he's 4.3. He's 4.34.
He wasn't too far off. Yeah. It's crazy. I think it depends what you're looking for, right? I mean,
right.
Mitchell has X traits, and he's lighter. But when you have that speed, you've got that type of leaping ability down the field. I mean, there's a lot you can do with that. And with Worthy, that straight line speed, the suddenness in and out of his breaks. He was better catching the ball this year. So, I understand. I think it's just the type of receiver you're looking for. One team might be looking for Mitchell. The other could be looking for a player like Worthy. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. Yep. But there's a very good chance both those guys get in the first round now.
When Worthy weighed in at whatever 160 and change, I go, that dude better run a 4.25. Right. And then the first 40, he ran a 4.25. And I actually was laughing at myself. I was like, oh, he shut me up. Like,
you're right. It's a calculated risk, right? Okay, yeah, you lose all that weight. You better be for a reason. Okay, if you lose all that weight and you run, a 4.40, still a great time, but when you factor in the weight, that's big. So yeah, he bet on himself, lost the weight, and we'll see what he is as a pro day. What the weight's up to, and I think we can bet he's not going to run at the pro day. He'll just do routes and things like that. But Roma Dunze was awesome.
Put on a show.
But the positional stuff and the testing. I mean, I think that's the key with Rome, because obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't work out. Malik Nabers didn't work out. But for him to go out there, talk about Roma Dunze and run as fast as he did and test, I mean, some of the positional stuff. I mean, for these receivers, they have him running, a quick slant, an out route, in route,
out route,
go route, curl.
Yep.
Yeah. And so every one of those routes, I mean, and to be expected, if you've watched Roma Dunze play football, you know he's a really good route runner. And he was outstanding running all those routes. The gauntlet was clean. So Dunze was just awesome from start to finish.
Yeah, he was cooking in the gauntlet. He had, the third fastest time through the gauntlet, according to Next Gen Stats. There's another guy I want to talk about, which I'm excited to. But he put on a show. The quick fade. They have him throw the quick fade now, like the quarterback one steps in, they go part of the sideline. You can really see the receivers adjust for the ball.
Right.
Holy crap. Watching him adjust and A.D. Mitchell a little bit too, but it's so clean. And just yeah, efficient. Like, he's up, he high points it, and he's down. It's not, there's right. not some hanging, there's not jumping early and reaching. It's like, oof. He's just an athlete. He's just a natural athlete. He, oh God, he's awesome, man.
And a lot of these guys, you see them either run fast or maybe they've got the short area, you know, the three cone short shuttle, or maybe they're, you know, they have one or two of these areas, or you know, the good and the positional stuff. To have a clean sweep where you're just checking boxes all over the place, it's rare. It's not common. And so for Roma Dunze, awesome day. It's really gonna be interesting the order these top three receivers come off the board. You know, like honestly, I don't think anything would shock me. I really would. If Roma Dunze goes to the Cardinals at four, I don't think it'd be like the most shocking thing in the world. Like I would
love him.
Oh yeah, I mean,
they love him. Yeah,
the fact that he went out there and competed, like that matters. You know, and it's not like that's gonna make a team draft him over Harrison or Neighbors, but it's another feather in his cap. It's something that's going to help the debate. So, and if you had a Dunze one going in to the combine, it's only going to help, you know, feel better about their projection. So I really don't think that, I mean, like I said before, I think quarterback, 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 receiver, 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 your top six picks and 4, 5, 6. If it's a Dunze, Harrison, Neighbors, that to me, that wouldn't be shocking.
What do you think of Neighbors not weighing in? Was that just help him stand with his teammate kind of thing?
Like solidarity,
thing.
Like, you know, I'm with you. It's kind of weird because I understand, like,
yeah. Weight wasn't an issue with him. It was like, you look plenty fit. Like, I bet you weighed 194, 195 maybe, somewhere up to 200, somewhere around there. I don't know. It was interesting.
If you lost weight to run, then let me see it run, or let me see it work out. Like, you know, usually guys, when they don't weigh, it's because – or, you know, like Bryce Young last year, like he got the weight up but didn't do anything at the combine. Then he lost it all, didn't weigh in at the pro day, and he worked out at the pro day. So, like, for Jaden Daniels and Malik Neighbors, I'm just surprised that, you know, I at least weigh in. Get the weigh in out of the way. And then if you don't want to weigh in at your pro day, then don't. And then do all your workouts at the pro day, but at least get the weight and the height or, you know, get just all the measurement stuff out of the way. So that was interesting choice.
It's curious. Yeah, it's interesting. Is. Yeah, I know. That's what it is. It's more like it's like it's because it's so unique, I guess, in a way that's what makes it stand out more than usual. Guys don't test. Guys don't do some things. It's like, oh, yeah, whatever. That's it is what it is now. Yeah, that one was just curious to me. But speaking of LSU, those LSU guys, Brian Thomas rolled. The other receiver from LSU, 4.34, I believe, officially.
4.33.
4.33. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
At 209 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Is it only 209. The best 40 times over the last 15 years among receivers, at least 207 pounds. Darius Heyward-Bey, he was like 210. He ran a 4.30. Okay. And then DK Metcalf, Brian Thomas, both 4.33. Now, I mean, DK Metcalf was like almost 230. I mean, that was just ridiculous. But Brian Thomas, the only other guy in that list. So three names over the last 15 years, guys that size running a 4.33 or better. So just unbelievable time. And I thought he was good the rest of the way too.
I did too. He's a developing player, but it's like, man, he just keeps getting better. Yeah, you could just see his movement stuff. Al Davis is probably trying to sprint after Brian Thomas. That's exactly what he wants.
How about Ricky Pearsall?
No, you're good.
I thought that
was the next one I was going to bring up.
He was another. Honestly, after Odunze, I think Ricky Pearsall was the second most impressive wide receiver workout of the night.
Huge week.
I mean, because again, it wasn't just the testing was awesome. I mean, he came in 4.41 in the 40, 42 inch vert, 6.64 three cone. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. 17 benches. It erupts in the bench. So
he's good size too, isn't he? Like he's
6'1", 190. Yeah. And then like his gauntlet was awesome. I mean, it was, I don't think it was the fastest. I didn't see the time. Like when I was watching it live, it didn't look like he was necessarily moving as fast as like Keon Coleman or some of these other guys were, but he was still, I mean, he's catching it cleanly. He was straight on the line. He looked good. So Ricky Pearsall, another one of those guys where him and Odunze from start to finish testing positional stuff, it was all just awesome. Above average. Absolutely.
Yeah. Xavier Leggett had a big week as well. Kind of had to from South Carolina. Like that's, you're hoping to see that. Cause that's what he kind of shows. You brought up, Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
He ran a 4.62, But this is the, this is again why it's kind of cool that we get the tracking data stuff too, because all of his metrics, the underlying stuff, as far as I don't know why I said metrics, but his underlying tracking stuff is that he was one among the fastest receivers during that gauntlet drill. Next Gen Stats tweeted this out. He was the only one that broke 20 miles an hour. And it's just such a going from what he ran in the 40 and going like 4.6 and change. It was like, ooh, Keon. Oh, man, I like you. Come on, man. Come on, do this, man. And then you see him, his game speed. You see the flashes of game speed. And that's why he is such a – we've talked about it. We've had conversations where it's like you like him, and it's just like there's just that – maybe that's something that we just want to prove. But well, there it is again.
Who did that last game speed year?
Puka Nacua.
100%. He was like a 4.57 maybe. Like, he wasn't a fast guy in the 40, but his gauntlet was awesome. I mean, I think he got over 20 miles per hour.
I think he did.
In the gauntlet. He might have been the only one last year who did that. So it's kind of the same. Now, obviously, we're not saying Keon Coleman's going to be have a Puka Nacua type of rookie season, but
it's going to break the rookie record right away.
Yeah. It's not, we're not making excuses for Keon Coleman here. Like, this is something that, you know, that it shows confidence in your hands, the body control catch the ball at full speed, no broken strides, you know, like it really
functional
shows
functional athleticism
in that, game. Yes. Right. Exactly. 100%. Yes. So yeah, that,
yeah,
he was, I'm glad you mentioned him, 'cause yeah, I was going to bring that up too. Any other receivers that you thought really cut your Jaquan Jackson for me, the Tulane kid. I think the positional stuff with him, I thought was awesome. Like, he caught everything. He looked really smooth in his routes.
He had really nice outbreakers. That's what stood out to me, which is good. Okay, sorry. But he's a smooth route runner.
And his testing wasn't great because he's a smaller guy. He's 5'9", 188. Ran a fast 40, 4.42, but his vertical is only 32 inches. And he didn't do three cone or short shuttle. So the testing maybe, except for the 40, looked great, but everything else was meh. But the positional stuff, I thought, was off the charts. So in my opinion, Jaquan Jackson helped himself.
Yeah, the one guy kind of, I wouldn't say had a disappointing week, but it was just one where it's like, oh, it's Troy Franklin weighing in the 170s, and then not that just having maybe an overwhelming week.
That gauntlet kind of like was, oof.
I think he barely broke 18 or like 17 or something. I know that was a very, yeah. He was one of the had a little rougher one, I would say.
In terms of being all over the place, he was the in terms of being wild with, because obviously they tell you stay straight on the line, and you know these guys practice this stuff. It looked like he had never done the gauntlet before with the way he was weaving all over the place. That was a rough showing for Troy Franklin.
Yeah, he was one I would say that was just like, just had a little. Left me wanting more after this week, Troy Franklin from Oregon. So
he ran a 4.41. So I mean, you know,
having said that, yeah,
yeah,
but when you weigh at 176, what do you weigh in? 174, whatever you weighed in. God, I was hoping he'd break 180, and now I'm like, sorry,
176, 6'2", 176,
So you hope he flies, and he's still twitchy, still like his ball skills and stuff. But it was just 6'9", just one of those
the three cone. Yeah, I mean,
still 39 good at that
inch
frame.
Vert. Yeah,
and that's why I like him, is because of the ball skills from in the red zone. He has that twitchiness, and then also just like he is a like this route running, like he's not as stiff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I thought he would maybe impress this week. He was kind of like eh.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Going to running backs, you nailed one of the standouts going into the week. The former Badger running in. Oh my goodness.
Like,
was his speed score? Jeez, like 140?
I did his report. I finished his report like 2 days before we did that Combine preview podcast. Yeah. And so I knew what he did in high school and track. I was like, okay, this guy, he won states in, you know, 100 meters, 200 meters, the long jump. I mean, he was just in multiple state championships. He was a big time track star. And when you watch him on film, it does translate. He's got the wheels. Yeah. So, and I thought positional drills and the testing was outstanding for him. I thought during the running back drills, he looked awesome. So yeah, he ran a 4.33, best among these running back class
at 221,
6 foot 221. Yeah. 41 and a half inch vert. He was under 7 seconds in the three cone, 10.9 broad. I mean, he was an elite type of workout for him, both the positional drills and the testing drills. No question, he left this week as a quote-unquote winner.
Isaac Arendo, by the way.
Oh, did we not mention his name?
No, I just said, oh yeah, Wisconsin, we got excited to talk about it, because you nailed it. You said he was going to have a standout week, and he sure did.
Louisville.
Louisville running back, yes. Former Wisconsin Badger, but he's a home run hitter, and he lived up to it. I mean, he rolled, and it was very impressive. Trey Benson from Florida State put on a little bit of a show, 216 pounds, ran a 4.39. I also thought Blake Corum had a kind of a nice showing. Really did. Like, he's just an easy player to like. God, I just watched so much Michigan film because I was doing that J.J. McCarthy article, and I was just like, man, Blake Corum is just a good football player, man. And
do they run the ball there?
Once or twice. Once or four or five or six or seven or eight, nine times in a row.
You can't complain about not enough tape on Blake Corum.
Oh, my goodness. Sure. I actually was really liking it when doing my McCarthy breakdown, because I was getting through games and like – I mean, it was like a 20-minute breakdown. It was great. Right. It was just like flying through just to get my five plays I needed. But any running backs for you that stood out? I didn't mean to knock off some of all the heavy hitters to start off the category.
No, I mean, I thought Jalen Wright, Tennessee, ran fast. Tyrone Tracy, he's one of my favorite day three running backs this year out of Purdue, former wide receiver. He's got that receiver, running back, returner, the versatility that I think is going to appeal to a lot of teams. But, you know, he's 5'11", 210, ran 4.48, was 40-inch vert. I think he had the best three cone among all these running backs, 6.81. So I thought he looked good during the testing, especially. Another guy that I thought killed it, both testing and positional, was Ray Davis, Kentucky, who already has the best story of this draft. And if you haven't yet, make sure you check out Zach Kiefer's deep dive on Ray Davis and everything he's overcome, from being a ward of the state to transferring three different times in college. I mean, I can't even do the story justice. Please go read the story. It's awesome. Just the fact that he's gotten to this point, and not that just that he's here, but he killed the combine. He was awesome. Yeah. I thought he looked good, really good in the positional drills, and then his testing was good as well. I think we mentioned Trey Benson. He was one that I thought stood out. A couple disappointed. I mean, Audric Estime, right?
Yeah, it was.
That was
4.71 is disappointing. Doesn't matter who runs it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think he'd be 4.3, but I didn't think he'd be 4.7. That's for sure.
I thought you'd crack 4.6 for sure.
He probably didn't think he was running that, right? I mean, if you think you're running a 4, if you're going to run the 4.7 as a running back, you're probably not running at the combine.
No, he was sitting out. Yeah. So, right. Well, he weighed in at that weight too, because I think he more carries maybe about 5-10 pounds heavier. And I think he weighed at 221 or so. It's one of those where, okay, you're trying to roll. Like, that's what I kind of figured, that, like, we just talked about this, what these guys do. They have to. I mean, this is their living, that they have to figure this out. So, but yeah, that was really surprising to me, especially because it just is not reflected on the film. He still has good size, and his jump numbers are strong. Yeah, 38-inch vert, 10.5 broad. So
yeah, you see that explosiveness. Weird, yeah,
Yeah, just a weird disconnect. One of those guys that he's going to be a trust the film type of guy. But it's just a little interesting that I thought he might put on a show and he kind of was, eh, I know. When he ran that 40.
I can tell you, over the next month, 2 months, there's going to be so much debate about these running backs. And
oh, yeah.
I honestly don't care. Like, there's honestly, my top 10 running backs, they're all really good. And depending on the type of running back you want, that might change your order a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think they're all pretty closely graded. You know, like, I have my favorites, but
yeah,
if you think...
I think I have six in my first tier, or like my top tier. I think six are in that one, just
like,
one
group. Yeah, I'm not gonna like fight you, you know, if you want someone else in that tier, because I don't think there's a lot separating these guys. So I'm less interested in debating the order of these running backs and just, you know, more excited to see actually where they end up going, because that'll tell us a lot more. Yeah,
that's exactly it. I'll feel a lot better with my takes on them when I know exactly what their roles are going to be and exactly what, you know, are they going to be actually the 1A? Tight end, which is always a huge position at the combine, really, because you want the biggest, freakiest guys at this position. So I thought a couple guys stood out this week. But for you, Dane, at the tight end position, who stood out to you in some of the testing and drills?
Tip Reiman from Illinois. Yes. You know, he, I think we
271?
Mentioned. Yeah, 6'5", 271. He's another guy I think we mentioned in our combine preview. Go out there running a 4.64 at that size. Three cone was 7.02, 4.26 short shuttle, 10.1 broad, 33.5 vert. I mean, those numbers are crazy when you think about other tight ends, like tight ends in a league. Like, I'm pulling up my list of, so just for me,
at 270 is insane. Right,
give people like a look behind the curtain. So for me, I put all the combine data in an Excel spreadsheet and I combine it with, you know, all the past combines, and I do like averages. So like the average tight end workout for, you know, the top 20 guys every year at each position. So like the top wide receiver workout, like, you know, it's average. You look at the averages, Tip Reiman was below the average in every single metric. 40-yard dash, he was under. Seven or three cone, he was under. But the average weight for those averages was 249. And this guy was 271. So to do what he did at that size is just so, so impressive.
It is. And that's because no one in college knows how to use their tight end, or rarely anyone, unless your name's Brock Bowers and everything. Like, so it's always with these guys, it's, you have to project so much. And one of the safest projections is, oh, big and fast. And can you block a little bit? Okay. Actually, one of those guys that probably is my tight end too right now, if I'm just being honest, because he just cemented for me. Penn State, Theo Johnson. This is what he flashed on film. We've talked about when he first declared or officially. He put on a show at 260-ish pounds, 6'6 and change, I think, wasn't he? It was 6'6 and I don't have it on top of my head. I should look that up.
He was over 6'6", yeah.
6'6", yeah, and then running like that. And yeah, and this is what he flashes on film. I mean, that's the Penn State translation. You got to do a little bit, but Theo Johnson was just, I think, did a huge for his stock, as he did at the Senior Bowl as well. But so a couple other, any other tight ends that maybe stood out to you, a little freaks list, freaks list?
Yeah, Jared Wiley, the TCU tight end, I thought he was awesome. I don't think he gets enough love. Wouldn't be surprised.
You've mentioned it before. Mentioned it before. Yeah, you like him a little bit. I know. That was in September we talked about him, I think.
He former quarterback. He was throwing passes to Quinn Johnson at Temple, Texas, back in the day in high school. So, he's the former TCU, current Chargers receiver. So, you know, he's not a natural tight end per se, because he played quarterback most of his life, but I think he's gotten better every year in college, first at Texas, then at TCU. That you see the athleticism for a guy that's that size, moving the way he did. He looked good at the Senior Bowl. And then he's continued it here, 4.62 in the 40. I think he's got the attitude too. You know, there's only so many guys that you can project as a true Y. A lot of these guys are undersized. A lot of these guys are more of the move or the joker tight end. This guy is 6'6", 250, and has has what it takes to be a true Y in this league and, you know, go out there and run like you did. 37-inch vert, it was awesome. Tanner McLaughlin, too, from Arizona. You know, kind of like Theo Johnson, Canadian native. You know, so he's another one of those guys. But 6'5", 245. Ran really went 4.61 in the 40. I thought he looked good during drills. So yeah, this is a tight end class that there's a big drop off after Brock Bowers, but I really do like the options in rounds 3 through 5. You know, I don't know how many of these guys, if any of them, get in the round 2. You know, Jatavion Sanders maybe, but I think between pick 60 and like 120, I think we're gonna see quite a few tight ends go in that group, and it's better than I think. We've all, us included, everyone's kind of said about this tight end group.
Running backs and tight ends, I would say that is that as you dive into it, it's like, oh, there's a little more depth to this. Like A.J. Barner from Michigan is another one. Like
it's your guy,
he's, but I like him a lot. I do. But like you said, there's a decent amount of Ys. You don't really get that in a class. So like there's legit ones here, which is really fun.
We have to mention Ben Sinat too from Kansas State.
Ben Sinat was the last one I was going to say.
Okay,
he tested even better than I thought he was
at 250.
Stunned me.
4.68 in the 40. Yeah, he was 6.82 in the 3 cone. 10.6 broad, 40-inch vert. Yeah, he was 6'4", 250 in testing like that. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, good football player. So that's actually really cool to see they actually tested that well. He's gonna. Some teams gonna really like him because it's just his versatility and stuff. Right. Okay, and then offensive line, who put on a freaking show today. I thought we're recording this on Sunday. Where do you even want to start? Do you want to start with one of your summer takes and what he did today? Marius Mims from Georgia,
the most fascinating player in the entire draft. He really
holy
is.
Holy crap!
Again, it's. Well, first, like, okay, the measurements, he was, do we have the exact measurements? It's like
6'7" and
3/4, I believe, 6076.
Yeah, he's just under.
And then 340 pounds with 36 and an eighth arms. I mean, that's
11 and a quarter hands.
Oh my gosh. Like that, okay, that's huge. And then for him to go out there and run a 5.07 and the 40. Is awesome.
Oh my god, the picture of him at the press conference when he was just standing there, you know, and he's just wearing a tight shirt. It's like, oh, that's 340. He looks like he's 210.
Well, and that's it's when I was in Frisco for the East West Shrine game, I stopped over at Offensive Line Masterminds and saw Duke, and you know, we were sitting there talking, and you know, we're going through his guys, we're talking about each one, and then I asked him about Amarius, and you know, I said something about his size, like, is he, you know, as big of a freak for his size as you know, I think based off his film, and he just you know points over to his left, and I turn around, and my eyes immediately have to go up to see all of him because he is just—it's a humongous human being, and it's sleek. It's like he has very low body fat on his frame. He carries that 340 like it's nothing. He carries 340 like, you know, I could carry 150 pounds. It's crazy how much. How much weight he has for the athlete that he is. Now, his the vertical wasn't great. The explosive numbers weren't great for him, the jumps. But again, when you have that type of width to with the way you're moving, and you have the movement skills at that size and the stride, I mean, it's you don't have to be a 35-inch vertical guy to be a freak.
And he's got, like, I mean, again, we talk about this as opposed to some other guys where it's like, oh, this is a project-y type. Oh, this guy doesn't have a lot of starts at tackle. It's like, Mims' film is good. It's just that he doesn't have a lot of reps. That's it. His film, though, is good. Like, his eyes are good. His hands are pretty good. It's pretty stunning, actually.
I thought Van Pran, he's at. Talking to Van Pran before the workouts, he said that, like, when you're as freaky as Mims, when you have the gifts that he has, you don't need 1,000 reps in college to be good because you're just already naturally really good. And it's just a matter of, you know, everyone starts kind of lower. He started on third base, you know, like he already started ahead of everybody. Exactly. And so it's just a matter of building off of that and continuing to get better. So there are some teams that might be a little weary of it, but you know, 8 starts, not having the body of work. Other teams are going to be like, hey, if that means
go for it.
If he had 20 starts, we wouldn't have a shot at him at pick 16 or 17 or whatever, you know? So we're fine with him having only 8 starts because now we actually have a shot to draft him. Because if he had a larger body of work, he's probably the first tackle drafted somewhere in the top 7 picks. So there will be some teams just fine with the lack of starts on his resume.
Oh, yeah. Someone's going to tilt that shoulder back and swing for the fences with him. It's worth it.
You totally understand. This
is not one of those I watch. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Don't take this guy. It's like, dude, right. I'm like, I'm trying to stop myself for how high I want to put him. Like, it's insane.
Good luck ranking these tackles. I mean,
yeah.
Because speaking of these tackles.
Speaking of the rest of the tackle class, Joe shows today.
Joe Walt going out there at 6'9", basically.
All of 6'9". He's Jonathan Ogden height.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. 321 pounds, 5.05 in the 40-yard dash, 7.313 cone, 28 vert, 173 10-yard split. So his 40 time's fine. His vertical jump's good. The three cone and the short shuttle, those numbers are awesome and
outstanding. Yeah.
When you, I mentioned that database I have of all the past combines. I'm going through to see, okay, 7.313 cone, 4.51 short shuttle. Where does that match up? And just for comparison purposes, the average for offensive linemen, for offensive tackles, the short shuttle is 4.73. He had a 4.51. Three cone is 7.73. And he had a 7.31. That's a big difference. Again, that's the average of like the top 15 guys at that position over combine history. And the guy that he matches up the most, the closest to in those two drills is Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson had the exact same three cone and a tenth of a second off in the 20-yard shuttle. So a crazy, crazy workout for Joe Wald. I think he just... confirmed what we knew going in, that he is a really good athlete, not the best bender necessarily, but he doesn't have to be with the feet that he has, the way he uses his length, how technically sound he is. Yeah, right. Exactly. Let's be realistic here. So he was terrific.
He was. He looks like a converted tight end, but it's now a compliment, not a derogatory statement. It's a compliment when I say that. He moves. I mean, again, his tape really ascended this year. Obviously, he's going to be a top 10 pick.
I remember in the summer, you and I talking like with Joe Walt. We were, because we were in
relatively.
This is a first round guy, but he needs to work on this. He needs to get better in this area. And to his credit, he did. Doing Prospects of Pros, we throughout the season by, October, we were like, okay, yeah, this guy, look at the improvements he's already made. This is really impressive. So we definitely have to talk about the Washington tackles.
Fondue. Fondue is going to be a left tackle by the end of this week, by the end of the week. Oh my goodness.
Well, and see, this is like Cooper DeJean. It's like... Zach Martin, like, it's not that he can't play one of the positions. It's just a matter of where are we maximizing what he can do. And so, like, having, him as a guard is not because he can't play tackle. It's just because you're trying to maximize what he can do best. But teams are still kind of split on that. Some teams still have him as guard, some as a tackle. But, he can play tackle. There's no doubt about it.
Just get him on your team. That's it.
And again, let's just include him in the tackle stack. How are you stacking these tackles? How are you? Because again, I think Joe Walt's the top guy, but I'm open to any challengers you might put there. Fuaga's up there especially with the workout he had today.
Yep.
We mentioned Mims, Olu. Yep. Can't forget about Olu.
Ran a 5.1 today, which was great. But then little baby hands. Well, 8.5-inch hands, which was I was expecting.
Yeah. Did you expect that? No, not with that body type.
No. He's got heavy hands, too. So it's, that was, I think it was the only tackle.
He measured in the spring. What did he measure his hands here at the combine?
8.5.
Okay. In the spring, I have 8.875. So not too far off, but, that's 8.5, a small number for a tackle, especially with his body type.
Only tackle I can think of with hands like that is Isaiah Wynn.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've seen interior guys maybe with that, but yeah, that's, and then just especially his body type and everything, you know, so long and big and, you know, just a thick dude. So that one, that surprised me, but I thought he moved well, but then he didn't do the drills. That was kind of, I was a little sad. He didn't do drills after he ran that 40.
Tyler Guyton looked good.
Guyton looked good. I thought, oh my God. But I would say real quick is I thought Troy Fonu, I know what you just talked about, but from Washington, like him and Alt and Mims, those three, I just thought put on a show. Fonu looked amazing in drills. The wave drill.
Oh my God.
Like in that, he looked incredible in the wave drill. I was his technique's always been great. We've talked about this. Right. That's why he's a real technician, but showing off that athleticism today. And obviously you have to have some to move like that, but it's wow. It was a total package.
The pass pro, the mirror drill, it was awesome.
That's what it was. Yep.
Yeah. The long pull,
the fastest miles per hour in the wave drill when they kind of like replaying it all, which it looked like that. Even faster in Alt,
like when you watch Washington's offense this year, like I know Penix and the receivers get all the love, but man, there was nothing better than watching them run pin pull and seeing the left tackle go out there and just maul guys. I mean, it was
some guy.
The mobility, the range, and then the finish, just awesome. So, again, if we stack him with these tackles, it's in J.C. Latham. I don't think he did any of the testing, but he looked really good in the positional drills. So, throw him
which
in there
was
as well.
Really, more than anything for me is what I wanted to see, because I want to see how he could stick out a tackle. Yeah.
And then the other Washington tackle, Roger Rosengarten, 4.92 had the fastest 40-yard dash among all offensive linemen this year. And another guy that, you know, vertical 30 inches, that's good. 9.5 broad, good number. His tape's not perfect by any means, but he's an athletic guy. And yeah, he was right tackle. Let's remember, though, that was the blind side. Like, they moved when Michael Penix enrolled, they specifically moved him to right tackle to protect the blind side. Because he's always been a left tackle. In high school, he was a left tackle. First 2 years at Washington, he was a left tackle. They didn't move him to right tackle until the lefty quarterback enrolled. So, I mean, that's a key point in, you know, when you kind of...
Huge,
you
can do that.
Yeah, you know, talk about him. But, you know, where does he... I mean, he, I think, put himself in that... He was already kind of flirting with day two. I think he was kind of on that borderline. Now, I don't see any way he gets out of day two with the way he looked at the combine. He was fantastic. And so, here's a question for you. Which position is the highest drafted in the first round, tackle or receiver?
Oh, tackle.
That's where I'm going.
Yes. Tackle, and but then I think once we get to like top 50 and stuff like that, then
right. Well, and that's just it. I think I understand someone that would say wide receiver, but I'm saying tackle because teams I think are going to feel really comfortable at the receiver you can get in round two, round three. Like that position is going to stretch. Tackle's not. There's a drop off, and if you don't get your tackle in the first round, you're not going to feel super confident about someone falling to you second, third round. So for that reason, I agree. I think we're going to see more tackles. And Jordan Morgan, I thought, had a good workout. So we're talking about, I mean, gosh, there could be as many as nine, maybe. Yeah. Go eight, nine, go in the first round. That's a crazy number.
And that's before you talk about interior guys. That's
Jackson Powers Johnson. He's another
Jackson
one that
Powers Johnson
did not... do any testing, I believe, but positional stuff, he looked really good. Cooper Beebe from Kansas State, I thought
he had a really good week. Yeah, he tested really well.
He moves with power, but it's still easy. So it's like a really good mix of, you know, just by the way he moves, you can tell he's powerful. But
his thing's just the short arms, right? That's the kind of his big negative.
I
think he's 31 and a half. What was it
officially? Yeah, I'd say... The over, I wrote in my preview how if the over-under is 32, I'm taking the under. And yeah, that's not great. It won't be for everybody, but I mean, because certain teams have a threshold. Right, yeah. And they will not go against that. But that just means he's going to fall to a team that's going to be happy with.
He's a good player.
Give me the good player. So one other player I thought looked really good was Christian Haynes, the UConn. And it's just a matter of really him keeping it continuing to rise. I mean, the Senior Bowl was great. And then here at the Combine, I mean, he's just continuing that ascent, which is great to see for him.
Yeah, he looked good in drills and tested well as well. And then just a highlight, just because he was hilarious looking, was Frank Crum from Wyoming.
Wyoming. Yeah. He was
a one of one looking person right there. He's enjoying it.
He's a good example of a guy that went back, you know, took advantage of that extra year. Because if he did, he wasn't getting drafted last year. Takes advantage of the extra year, and he was a. Made huge improvements this year, put himself on the radar, turned himself into a draftable guy. And to his credit, had a really good workout and has a chance to, you know, kind of separate himself among those day three tackles. So yeah, it was good for him.
All right. Let's go on to the defensive side. We kept it under 50 minutes for offense. So
turn the tape over for the defense. Yeah.
Defensive side. Well, I'll start with edge. I'll go like this way. I know it goes defensive line, linebackers. I don't think they'll mess with you too much because it's just the most prospects. But we'll go with edge players. Who are some of the edge guys that stood out with you? Because there's one at the top that put on a show.
I mean, we got to start with Dallas Turner, right?
Good for him, man. What a week.
This is why he's been the top edge rusher in the rankings since the summer. You know, it's just because he's a freak of an athlete. But he can do everything because, you know, he can stop the run, he can rush the passer, he can drop in space, and he backed it up. I mean, 4.46 in the 40, 40 and a half inch vert, I believe it was. And then the positional drills was awesome.
That's where you look great.
The way he moves out there, he looks like he's a middle linebacker, you know, just a really awesome middle linebacker, and yet he's an edge rusher. So yeah, Dallas Turner, I think he has to be, but probably the betting favorite to be the first defensive player drafted.
I think he is.
Yeah. I mean, it's either him or probably one of the corners, which we'll get to here in a little bit, but I don't know, maybe Q after his workout. So, but Dallas Turner, yeah. If we're going to talk about edge rushers, got to start with him.
Yeah, his actually testing numbers are kind of similar to Bruce Irvin when he came out. I didn't look at it until right now. Yeah, but that's the type of role I like for Dallas Turner, is that kind of, I always talk about that kind of old Sam, 3-4 Sam, or now they call him a Jack in the odd mint fronts and tight mint stuff. So, man, good for him, though. Like that, I mean, the length always shows up with him, and you could see some get off with him, but it was that overwhelming testing just makes me more comfortable with taking him top 12, you know, top 14. That it's just like, okay, all right, we are betting on a high upside athlete, you know, as opposed to like, are you just a good football player? But a guy that
led the SEC in sacks. So it's not like
sacks against TFLs, drops into coverage. All right, no, it does awesome stuff. Yeah, awesome player. The guy that for me, I was curious if like how he would test, and obviously he tested really well, was Jared Verse from Florida State. Really strong testing day, 4.58 40, 35 inch vert, 10.7 broad. Verse stand out to you? Any other edges guys?
How about 31 reps on the bench for Verse? I mean,
that shows the film too. He's so freaking strong.
Oh my, that's his game. That's it.
The
way he can transfer his power from in his rush is so impressive. And yeah, sometimes he's too willing to go through you. Like, you know, you want to see him diversify what he's trying to do out there a little bit more, but he knows he can get away with it because it works so often for him. You know, once he reaches your chest, it's over. He was awesome. Small school guy, Jalix Hunt. I thought he looked really good.
Houston Christian, right?
Yeah, Houston Christian. Cornell transfer, former safety. He transfers to Houston Christian last year, and they bulk him up and move him to linebacker. And
got him in a workout program. Holy crap!
No kidding. He was a dude. I mean, his testing was good, but the positional stuff was what really is why I'm talking about him right now, because he looked really smooth. 6'4", 252, 34 and a half inch arms, and he ran a 4.64, which is a really good time, 37 and a half inch vert, 10.8 broad. So, yeah, he's still got a ways to go. I mean, this is not a polished pass rusher by any means, but I thought – like when I was talking to scouts about him in, you know, September, October, it was like, you know, okay, late rounds, you know, he's getting drafted, but he's just so raw that he's not more than a late rounder. Seeing him move out there compared to some of these other guys, top 100 is in play for him because there's just only so many guys that have the traits that he does. And so, yeah, it's not going to be an instant open the packaging and let's play with him right away. It's going to take a little bit of time, assembly required with him. But for a certain team, that's going to be okay. They'll be fine with that. Get him in the late third round and kind of put him on the shelf and, you know, be patient with him a little bit.
Yeah, there's, like you say, there's not a lot of guys that move like that. One of them being Chop Robinson from Penn State, who you were hoping he would put on a show this week, and he did. 4.48 40, 154, 10-yard split, 4.25 shuttle, 32.5-inch arm, which I thought was very important because he is a kind of a smaller pass rusher type or edge type, 6'2", 254. But he, if you liked him, you're going to love him after this week. Like that it's not slowing you down at all with Chop Robinson, but he came in and had a very, very big week. I totally get what you mean with Hunt, though, from Houston Christian, is that you're betting on those traits and there's not a lot of package traits, guys with that package of traits that look like that actually could play football too. You know, as opposed to just running upfield and doing nothing from play in, play out. Any other edge guys that stood out to you, or maybe any disappointing workouts for you?
No, I mean, I thought that, the one thing with Chop, I was expecting the vert and the broad to be better than they were.
What was his broad?
10.8, which, I mean, it's a good time. I mean, let's be real. Yeah. That's good, but expectations were 40 in the vert, 11 in the broad, you know, like that. And he even said those, I believe he said those numbers himself. So it's like he set the bar high. And watching his tape, seeing his get off, the expectations are already high. But so that was a little bit of a surprise. But no, I think for the most part, this is, you know, Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, you know, Liatu Latu, definitely want to talk about him because I thought his positional stuff was great. Like running, seeing him run the hoop was like, all right, yeah, this guy, he's not a total freak, but he's so natural rush. It's like he was born to rush the passer. It's very natural for him. He's very crafty with his hands. He understands, you know, just how to dip his body and to leverage every part of his frame to maximize how he can get to the quarterback. So, you know, and seeing him go through drills, it kind of reinforced that. Now the medicals are gonna be big for him. That's where this week I'll get more information from teams on what the medical stuff says, but. With Latu, that's everyone's kind of holding their breath on that one. Just and I can tell you right now, not every team's gonna be comfortable with him. Especially
he's
in the first round.
He's a unique type of player. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a certain type of skills. He's a true pass rush specialist. Yeah. Like it's like he's a specialist. Like he's very good at this one thing that he does, which is rushing the freaking passers. But yeah, he's a unique skill set. Braylon Trice coming at 245 edge from Washington and running a 4.72 was a one of my disappointments at any position for any player of the week. I really like Trice's game, but this is kind of all right. You know, you're not the biggest, strongest guy, and you're not the fastest, twitchiest guy. You're more just a solid football player type. I kind of had that deep breath with him this week, but that was a little disappointing because I was hoping maybe he'd test okay or at least weigh in and test okay.
losing all that weight because he was a guy that
was 270.
Yeah, 270 is his normal playing weight, and so that's a major difference. You know, 25 pounds. So what's he run when he's 270? You know, if is he 4.9? I mean, what is he? So, and honestly, you see that on film. Like, he's not a fast guy. He's not someone that's going to put up a great time in the 40. That was expected. But yeah, 4.72 at 245 is not what you're looking for.
It's one or the other. It's like either be bigger or fast. It's one of the two. Like, right. I need one of those at least.
He's got some good film. You know, he's not.
He does. He's a good football player.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's also the reason why, you know, he's never been in a first round mock for me. Or, you know, like there's parts of his game that are you like but don't love. Or he's good but not great.
Yeah, and even if I liked him, like him and Verse are kind of similar play styles. At least you know. Strength first, you know, push the pocket type, pass rush type, good against the run. But Verse is a good, very good athlete, and Trice is a below average athlete. I would even say average. So that's the difference. It's like, yeah, they have production similarities, but it's like, that's why they're going to have maybe 40 spots of difference where they get drafted.
Right.
When we go to interior defensive line, Any standouts for you on the interior of the defensive line? There was Montez Sweat or Tavondre Sweat weighed in, so that was good. We got his weight in. He's 360 and change, so we got it officially. It's on the docket,
right? Yeah. I mean, we have to start with Brayton Fisk, right? I mean,
D tackle from Florida State. Went to town this week.
Yeah, positional stuff and the testing. If you take his weight adjusted 40-yard dash, which is a 4.78 at 292 pounds, 94th percentile. It just absolutely crushed it. And it wasn't just that. It was 33.5 vert, 9.9 broad, the 4.37 short shuttle. 4.37 short shuttle, that's silly.
Yeah, it was crazy.
For a guy, 6'4", 292 pounds. Now, 31 inches arms, not great, but again, turn on the tape, and we've been talking about this guy. He took over that Louisville game, the ACC championship game. I mean, he was getting drafted last year. I watched him last year at Western Michigan, and then he decided to transfer, goes to Florida State, and was part of that rotation. The production's not huge for him, but again, he was part of a rotation, and that plays a factor in this. But yeah, he's someone that I thought he was in my top 100 a couple weeks ago. And it was like, okay, he's inching towards that based off of the way he played this season, the way he performed at the Senior Bowl. He's working towards that second round. Now, after this combine workout, I don't see him getting out of the second round. I don't think he's going to get in the first round, but I think second round is kind of where a lot of teams are going to be targeting him.
Well, and especially that position, the drills, or actually the testing that he excelled at, are the ones that teams look at too for those benchmarks for everything. So it's like, oh, so even if a team like, oh, is there iffy on the film, he's a great gap shooter type, he wins right away. I mean, it's he went so quick.
But you saw that in the positional stuff too. I mean, it was the bag drill. Oh my gosh, like he was great there. The front start, the wave drill that they kind of do, he was really good. Yep. The pass rush drill was awesome for him. They do that punch hand like shiver drill. I mean, he was terrific in that one as well. So I mean, he was I was really impressed from start to finish. And that's what I love when you're start to finish from the start of the week to the end of the week. If a guy just impresses you the entire way, you know, Roma Dunze with what he did, and a couple of Ricky Pearsall, a couple of these other guys, Fisk definitely belongs in that category as well.
Yep, drills and then drill work. The any other defensive tackles? Byron Murphy.
Byron Murphy
had he told me 4.87.
Told me last week wanted to get in the 4.8s, and he did it.
He broke it. Yep.
Yeah. His bench press. Well, he said he wanted a 35 on the bench. He didn't get there. But I think he got close in. 4.87 40-yard dash, and he came in.
Yeah.
He told me he weighed 307, 308, I think, but he came in at 297, so he was a lot lighter, which surprised him. He was surprised by that weight. He thought he'd be at the least 300 pounds. His vertical jump was 33, which he said he told me he wanted at least 32, so he got 33 in the vert, 9.3 broad. And he positional stuff was awesome as well. I mean, the way he moves is just there's a twitch to him that is just different than everybody else. It's different than Johnny Newton. It's different than Sweat. It's different than all these other defensive tackles. There is a twitch in his lower body and his hips that is, in my opinion, noticeably different than every other defensive tackle in his class. And that's why he's, in my opinion, the top defensive tackle this year and going to go somewhere in those top 20 picks.
Yeah, and this was for a guy that's more of that shooting type. It's like, all right, are you a good athlete? Oh, yeah, you're great. All right, we're good. We're good here because that's how his film is. So it's like, just confirm it. That's how you want to go with. Going to off-ball linebackers because there's, you know, we're picking that guys here. We're trying to find some guys to stand out at the off-ball linebacker spot. But for you, Dane, any of the off-ball linebackers stand out for you? There's one I know that put on the show, but anyone else other than that?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of like the quarterbacks for me, where it's kind of a boring answer, but what we kind of expected happened. I mean, Peyton Wilson running a 4.43 was pretty awesome. We thought he'd be fast because he's a straight line guy. If you ask him to run in a straight line, he's going to get there in a hurry. 233 pounds, so it's not like he lost a bunch of weight. He's kind of around a 235 pound guy. 34.5 inch vert, 9.11 broad. Peyton Wilson, awesome. But again, double-digit surgeries. He's another one where it's going to come down to the medicals. Not every team's going to be comfortable with him. And another guy that I don't think is going to go first round. Might not even go second round, but somewhere probably third round. I think he kind of confirmed that. Edrin Cooper ran well, 4.51. Trevin Wallace looked good out of Kentucky, which we expected. I really worry about the awareness, the diagnosed skills, just some of the instinctive feel for the game. But as an athlete, I don't have many questions. Yeah.
I was going through some stuff. I was watching Tennessee, I believe it was. And I'm trying to watch the running back. And then I'm going through, and I remember you talking about him from Kentucky and just going, yeah, some of the instincts and some of the recognition stuff isn't great. So I'm watching. And then I saw him like take two steps the wrong way. And then I just started laughing to myself. Like I was just like, oh, that's what you're talking about. I wasn't even trying to watch him, but I was wondering how this hole popped open. It was like, oh, cause one guy went the wrong direction, two steps, but sorry. I had a very funny moment last week where I was just, after we did that show, as I was watching that defense, like the next day, like really showed up everything that you indicated with him.
Yeah. Run play action with, get him sucked up, run misdirection. Oh. I mean, there are a lot of wasted steps.
Tractor beam. Film.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But he's a 4.51 guy. So he can afford some of those missteps. Right. Trevin Wallace is an interesting guy.
He's
doing my top 100 a couple weeks ago, he was one of the five guys left out. I came down to like 10 guys for five spots, and he was one of the last ones I left out because the instinctive feel's not there, but I knew the type of athlete he is, and it was good to see him put up those numbers and kind of confirm our suspicions.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the back end. DBs. So more thoroughbreds. DBs.
He's an athlete. That's honestly, I think corners are my favorite position to study. They're my favorite position to watch at the combine because these guys are so top tier when you just talk about athletes, and it's just fun watching them go to work. I love if you're watching backpedal drill, see how they can pedal, turn, close, they'll do, and then they got to catch the ball. Some of them can do that, some of them can't.
Always hysterical too. Man, because you're not ready for bad hands at the NFL combine, right, and then when it happens, it's like, oh, well, that's right,
you're a corner for a reason, some of the weave stuff, the transition stuff, it's just, you can really tell who's the top guys. And Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, both those guys, I think, confirmed, at least in my opinion, they're the top two corners. And I mean, in my top 100, they were 10 and 11. I don't think they're moving up. I don't think they confirmed what we saw. Now, if Quinyon goes one, I don't think I'd be surprised, because UT put up 20 on the bench press. that's silly. And it's funny because I was texting with his head coach, Jason Candle, that morning, and he sent me the numbers from the summer, and it's like 555 squat, 20 reps, 225. And I was like, okay, if he gets 20 reps, 225, I thought maybe over under 16, maybe. No, he got 20. That confirmed what he was. I was like, all right, that's awesome.
That's just easy athleticism, easy explosiveness. The drills, holy crap, him in the drills.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, you didn't even need to watch him in testing. Just watch him in the drills and just watch him turn and run. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, guys don't move like that. And, of course, he has the ball skills. That's the thing. He's not just a movement athlete. Oh, man. Yeah, he's awesome, dude. he's so really cool.
And he's such a cool player. Crushed every point of the process.
Everything.
Had the season that he had. Yeah. Had the production that he had, then the Senior Bowl. I know he was kind of on the fence about doing the Senior Bowl. He decided, you know what, I'm going to go compete, and he made himself money by doing that, and then go to the Senior Bowl or the Combine, check that box, positional drills, testing. I mean, he can kind of shut it down and just go on your visits now, because you've done everything you can do to put yourself best position to be drafted high.
Which, watching him, my first time I studied him, it was during the season. You brought him up, and I think it was September, and I watched a couple games from last year, and I watched one of the games from this year, and I was like, oh, this guy has best player on the field-itis. Yeah. Is that, like, you could just tell he moves different from everyone else, and obviously there's a reason. This guy's a rare NFL athlete, excellent NFL athlete, playing in the MAC. That's what it looked like.
It's funny, going back to, like, that So I do the initial top 50 in August, and then do an updated one around Halloween. And I think in that one, and the one, he didn't make the one in August, but the one at Halloween, I put him like 35. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be bold. I'm going to put him high. You know, I'm a believer in this guy, and I'm going to put him, you know, higher than anyone's going to put him. And in hindsight, it's like, well, wait, I was way too low because this guy.
I snuck him in my first mock. I was like, I'm going to give him the Lions at 31. I think it was like in November. I was like, I'm going to sneak him in there. This guy, they're going to love this guy. He'll maybe get into the first.
Yes, right. He could sneak in there. Right. Yeah. Usually there's a Mac kid that sneaks in there. No, he's more the Khalil Mac, you know, the Mac kid that belongs in the top 10.
Blue chip. Yeah, exactly. This is a maybe first rounder. It's an actual blue chip guy. Taron Arnold.
He's got a legit shot to be the first defensive player drafted. I mean, Dallas Turner, that's the favorite. Terrion Arnold, who we'll talk here about in a second, is probably next. But Q's right there. And
has to be.
I'll have to go. I haven't looked this up, but I would imagine it'd be the first time a Mac defensive player, or is the first defensive player drafted. We know Eric Fisher was the first overall pick in that draft, 2013. And we know Khalil Mack went fifth, but he wasn't the first defensive player drafted that year. So I'll have to go do some homework, but Q's got a shot.
Yeah. Oh, no, that would actually be a real interesting factoid there. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, you mentioned the other guy, Taron Arnold, who also, like, not only another guy that, like, I know this sounds so silly, but it really does. It just looks the part. He was getting ready for the gauntlet drill, I think it was, and he was getting ready. Or he was getting ready for one of the drills, and he was just getting ready. And how he was, like, started going, how he just moved. I was like, yeah, that's you. Yeah, no wonder. And then, of course, the interviews this entire week, he had some tremendous moments, some of the interview stuff that he did as well. But how did Arnold stand out for you, Dane? I know you love him. So was this a solidification process for you? Yeah.
The 4.50, obviously, you want your corners to be under 4.45. It's a stopwatch position. There's no doubt about it. But
yep.
He plays, and there are times where, because he's a guy that's quick initially, and then he just kind of runs out of gas late, so he doesn't have that extra gear that some other guys have. We saw, you know, throwing the Texas tape, you can see that against, I think it was that touchdown against Adonai Mitchell. But you know, it's something that is a part of his game you worry about. It's why he's not Sauce Gardner, or, you know, a top five pick, but he's still a really good player because he is a good athlete. What, 37 vert, 10.9 broad, and the compete skills, the positional drills, he was outstanding. The pedal, the break forward, the speed turn.
So clean.
Even the catching stuff was good. So, yeah, I thought he knocked it out of the park. He definitely was I think people look at the 4.50 and kind of, oh, he hurt himself. No, Taron Arnold was a winner from the combine, no doubt about it.
And that's not his game. Like, when I watch his game, it's ball skills, it's competitiveness, it's intelligence and body placement. Like, because that's what, he
mental toughness. I mean, that guy he will not be fazed by a mistake. He'll go back out there like nothing happened and go compete again. And you have to have that as a corner. And he certainly has that,
That's great. Well, going on the other side, a guy that was super fast but super light, Nate Wiggins, 4.29 from Clemson, but at 173 pounds. I'm not going to fool into the Emmanuel Forbes thing ever again. So I really like Wiggins, though, but it's just that's a light body. There's a lot of light corners out there, but it's just I have trouble with that, just especially how there's a lot of offenses that are going to make you tackle over and over and over. Watch what happened to Washington this year.
Right. And I've been super high on Wiggins for a while. Initial top 50 in August, he was up there. He was like 12th. I mean, he came into the season high expectations, and for the most part, he answered them. I mean, what he did against Florida State was awesome. What he did, I mean, the North Carolina tape, I mean, he put up a lot of good tape. But there are times where, he put up good tape in terms of the movement stuff. But there are times where he could get out physical, and you know, you just worry about him holding up against NFL receivers that are gonna just really be able to outmuscle him in certain situations, and not just down the field, but I mean, even blocking him and you know, clearing out space. I mean, he's a guy I worry about, but. He's going first round. It's just a matter of kind of where does the team feel comfortable. Like Forbes. I mean, he was a guy that we felt like, all right, he's going first round, but is it going to be like 30th? Is it going to be 28th? No, Washington felt good about him in the top 20. So, and they even took him before, My guy Christian Gonzalez, which was crazy. But you know, and Forbes is a good player, but it's there's an area of his game that you worry about, and that's going to be
even
true
the moment
with
that
Williams.
Felt that felt rich even in the moment. It was it like did. Forbes was like, oh yeah, he's fun, he's scrappy, he's really got good ball skills and everything. But when he went before Gonzalez and then went before even Banks from Maryland last year, I was that surprised me as well. I was like, ooh. This is just a size thing. This is just physics. That's, I don't know. You can take the guy that's 30 pounds less. Any other? Oh, sorry. Yeah, any
I was other say, two other here? Guys that really stood out for me. My guy Andrew Phillips from Kentucky, loose, springy in his movements. I don't know how to explain this, but he just watching him on the field, he was attacking each drill just a little bit differently than everybody else. I don't know. He just had a little bit more juice with the way he was going in, running to the drill, running it or performing the drill full speed. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting it's just my own bias or something. Hey, I don't know.
But it matters, man. Stands out.
When you watch these guys with your own eyes and see them on the field working out, you notice these little things about these players. And for me, Andrew Phillips was one of those guys. I thought he just killed it in the positional stuff. And then South Dakota's Miles Harden. I thought his 40, it was kind of like Terry and Arnold. Like the 40 wasn't great. It was 4.50. But the short area drills was awesome. I mean, he was pulling up. I think he had the best short shuttle of all these corners.
Oh, wow.
I think he was the only one that got under 4 seconds. Yeah, 3.98 in the short shuttle, and he was 6.88 in the three cone. So you see that change of direction. See the short area agility. He had good tape. I wouldn't say great tape. I thought he was, you know, especially coming from the FCS level, was maybe came into the week as a late round guy. And now I think after this workout, he's going to have a lot of people going back to the tape and saying, all right, maybe we're a little too harsh on him. You know, and it's tough when you're talking about FCS level tape and not being able to see him go up against top competition week in, week out. But I think Miles Harden leaves this week definitely as a winner among these corners.
That's what my wife was watching me when I got home. I was watching the Saturday workouts and she goes, oh, you said like, some of these guys you don't need to watch run or anything. Well, I was like, oh, I'll get their times. Mm-hmm. He's like, why did you need to watch that guy? I was like, small school guys. I was like, hey, this is why. It's just this like, all right, do they look kind of – okay, does that look weird? Is that like, oh, you don't belong here? Right. Or is it exceptional, you know, on the other side, which is we saw some of these guys just be exceptional. But that's a great point. If you come from South Dakota, you pass these athletic thresholds and people are going to go, oh, okay, never mind. Yeah. You're not the South Dakota DB. We're now going to actually be looking at you. In a different light. So
he had a shot to transfer and he didn't. He told me that loyalty means a lot to him and he wanted to be loyal to the because South Dakota is one of the like three schools that recruited him coming out of Miami, and he had two season ending injuries, but he played all 13 games this past year and or 12 or whatever game how many games it was, but he just felt loyalty to the staff and he's got a good chance to pay off for him.
That's pretty cool. Also, before we wrap it up, I have give our guy Ladd McConkey a shout out, receiver from Georgia. But I got a comparison for Ladd, Emmanuel Sanders.
Okay.
I looked at their testing. I looked at their testing. It's very close. Very same size.
Quick and fast, right?
Yeah, and can play outside. He's not just a slot guy. He got a legit win from the outside. More like a Z than a slot. Yeah, mm-hmm. So. I was watching him. I was doing a little breakdown. Yeah, I know. I was pretty proud of that one. I know. So I was like, Ladanuel Sanders. I know. I was trying to find some pun, but it didn't work. It's been too late. This week has been too much.
that sums up the combine right there. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I'm coming up with nicknames and puns for some of these comparisons. That's what we left.
No,
at,
but I respect it because I know where your brain goes with these guys, and I love it. It's great.
Just see where exactly, where the derangement starts and ends. Yeah, exactly it. Oh, Dane, this is awesome. It was great seeing you, of course.
Wait, we got to talk about safeties, right? We got
to... Oh, yeah, safeties, other position. Are there any to talk about?
Cole Bishop. I want to mention Cole Bishop because he was great.
Oh, yeah.
He was,
from Wazoo. Not Wazoo. Utah. Oh, man. Sorry. Sorry, I cut you off.
No. 40 was great. The positional drills were great. He was a guy that... that athletic versatility is big with him because he can play in the box, he can play deep, he can cover tight ends, he can whatever you want him to do, he can do. And I think that that showed with his testing and the way he performed drills. And this is a class that doesn't have a clear cut number one safety, and I thought Cole Bishop made a pretty strong case why he could be the guy. Even Jaden Hicks too, Washington State. I know he didn't run the 40. He's going to wait till his pro day. But he was still 6'8" in the three cone, and I thought his positional drills were awesome. So Bishop and Hicks, two Pac-12 guys, I thought were quote unquote winners from the combine.
Well, that's safety. It's just like who tests well. Okay, I'm going to watch you. All right. Please, somebody stand out. Like that. Right. That's kind of where I'm at. This safety position. No. Cole Bishop's a good one. I got to watch him recently, so I do like him a lot. And I like Hicks, too. You mentioned him a couple of weeks ago. He's his testing's not overwhelming and everything, and that's not how he plays, but he's got some good football player to him. There's not a lot of guys have that. He can hit a little bit. I like that. But, yeah, this is the combine.
It's great
this was
stuff,
the combine.
Man.
Now, always. Now. What year was this for you?
My first one was 11. That was Cam Newton. So, okay. Yeah, it's what about you? What was
this first? Was 13 was my first one. So,
okay. Yeah. Straight? Have so you missed any or have you just, you've been straight?
I have not missed any. That's one, awesome. One, I only went in for one day and that was it, but I have not missed any. So, it counts.
Feet on the ground. That's great.
I know. I've really grown. Or
did,
my
did
game.
You get all the food you wanted to get in Indianapolis?
I did. You know, and I was a little more adventurous this time. I really was trying to find some more like coffee for me, you know, spots to, I was trying to have a good routine during every day. It only lasted a day, right. Lasted 2 days, I should say. But yeah, I was trying to experiment with some other spots. So it was good. Yeah. I found a little Mexican spot I liked and nice. A little bistro I liked. Yeah. Yeah. How about yourself? You get
good.
Get
yeah.
enough steak to last
well,
a year.
I my goal is always two really good steak dinners. That's what I wanted. And, yeah. Yeah, the one I had with Randy Mueller. It was good to catch up with him and talk with him in person. Of course, teammate of ours at the Athletic. But been a GM in the league for a long time. A lot you can learn from him.
Picked my dad up from the airport in Seattle in 1981, and then he meets me. We're coworkers for this many years later, 40-something years later. I know. Imagine that's when I saw him at when we had our little powwow on Monday. I was like, that must be so surreal for you.
right?
Yes, that's... but it was good to see Randy too. Yeah.
And then the other dinner with Bruce Feldman and DJ and some other guys. Like, I mean, just that's you learn so much from so many people I respect, so many people that have been doing this a long time that know what they're doing. And it was a productive week. A lot of meetings, a lot of media, a lot of meeting new people, which was a really fun part of this because it's or people that maybe you've talked to before but never met in person. Like that happens a lot. Just trying to keep up with everything. That's the whole goal of the combine. Sure. Try to keep up and make sure you're talking to everyone you need to talk to. And it's exhausting, but so productive. And I know for me, for like with the draft guide, fill in so many gaps this week. Either talking to the players or talking to scouts, it just fills in so many gaps that, okay, I've got a month, not even a month, like three and a half, 4 week sprint before the draft guide comes out. This week at the combine, so important to finish up.
It gives you off the blocks, a little speedy off the blocks. Yeah.
Head start.
Just like Worthy running a 4.21.
There you go.
Yeah. There we go. That'll tie it in.
Bring it back.
But Dane, thank you. Bring it all the way back. Dane, thank you so much. This is awesome. Again, it was so awesome seeing you. It was the combine. Another one in the books for the prospects to pros. We will be here every single week. It's draft season. We're ramping it up. It's not going away. We got pro days coming up next. Just wait. Now we get to fill it. We talk about filling some data, filling some space. Yeah, with some pro days. Actually, we get some weight on some of those LSU guys. It'll be great. But I'll see you guys next time.
This was the Athletic Football Show's Prospects to Pros podcast.
Hey, football fans. This is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.